I too would like to thank the conveners of the conference for including me, and I feel very honored and humbled to share in such a labor as this. Now, some of you have heard me, who have heard me in the last number of months, may be tired of my Moses messages, but I'm sure another 25 minutes will not hurt you. So let's read together first in Exodus chapter 2. The book of Exodus, please, and chapter 2. We'll break into the chapter at verse 11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on the burdens and spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he murdered the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh, and dwelt in the land of Midian, and sat down by a well. Now look down, please, to verse 23. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and their cry came unto God by reason of the bondage, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And down, please, to verse 9. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. God is speaking. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. The Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. We have received in this conference an abundance of good, solid, healthy food from God's word. You who are older today, right now, my next 20 minutes, you can take a little rest. Because my burden is to communicate and to reinforce to younger believers the importance of taking time, making time daily to spend with God. That is to block out a predetermined amount of time from your schedule in order to give God your undivided attention. Because time with God is essential to a Christian life. It is necessary for your growth and development as a believer. It is crucial to your survival in a world of defilement. It is absolutely necessary to your usefulness for God. It is integral to a life of worship. I can hear the gears grinding in your mind, some of you. He has no idea what my schedule is like. Well, if you are a teenager this afternoon, or a young single, I recognize you may have school and homework or work commitments, but the days that you have right now are the freest and the least busy of all the days of your life. Probably at least until you get 80. Now, I'm not knocking the time you take on the ski hill or on a dirt bike or in the skate park or on the computer. All I'm saying is this, and I think this kind of goes along with what you've already heard and even the tenor of this conference. Make sure that early in your life, in your Christian life, you make time to spend alone with God. Robert Murray McShane lived a short 29 years. At 4 years of age, he mastered the Greek alphabet. At 8, he started high school. At 14, he entered the University of Edinburgh. And I was enjoying a number of things about his life. In a biography written by A.A. Bonar, the opening paragraph says, "In the midst of the restless activity of such a day as ours," early 1800s, "it would be useful to trace the steps of one who during the last years of his short life walked calmly, in almost unbroken fellowship with the Father and Son." And in reading the daily memoirs of this godly man, it is evident that the calm fellowship that he enjoyed with his God, it flowed from a life, from time, from moments spent alone with his God. We were hearing yesterday from Brother Ramsey what he said, that a Christian before his God on his knees is what he is and no more. In the journals of Jim Elliot, who also incidentally died at age 29 with four other men through the spears of Aka Indians there on that river in Ecuador, you quickly recognize as you begin to read some of those journals that he too was a man who spent quality time with his God. One short excerpt said, "I seek not a long life, but a full one like you, Lord Jesus." Now, I would just like for a few minutes to look at the experience of Moses in the wilderness of Midian, and in particular here at the burning bush, just as a picture. And I think it is a very vivid picture of a Christian spending time in the presence of God.
So what do we mean, or what do I mean when I talk about spending time in the presence of God? It does not mean that you need to relocate to the Sinai Peninsula in search of a burning bush, nor does it mean that you need to take 3 hours of devotional time every day to be alone with God, although if you have that time, that will certainly benefit you. It is not a call to hermit-like living. There are 3 things that I would like to emphasize, like to highlight about being in God's presence. Number one, self is emptied. Self is emptied. Secondly, God is esteemed. And thirdly, purpose is established. All 3 of those things, which are so necessary in our lives, they will be realized in the presence of God. You see, we must not forget that the world that we live in, it will rub off on us. Moses was immersed in Egyptian culture, its education, its methods, its philosophies, its morals, its values. There for 40 years of exposure, I am sure that the culture, that the atmosphere of Egypt, it had a profound effect upon this man Moses. And we would be acting like ostriches, putting our heads in the sand if we think that we can live in North American culture and not be affected by it. Have you been in a mall lately? Have you been in a high school or university on a warm spring day? Some of you students here, that's your environment. You spend 7, 8, 9 hours a day in this environment. And you know what I'm talking about. You know that it is defiling. And you know that the language, and you know that what you see, it is affecting you. Like Moses, you had no say, and I had no say in the culture, in the atmosphere, in the condition of the world that's all around us. And you can trace through those early years of Moses, and we don't know too much about his teen years, but God preserved him. And if there's one thing I learned from the life of Moses, the early years of Moses, it is this: God is in complete control. God had a purpose for this man's life, and He preserved him through his teenage years. But you know, the end result, I just want to touch this, the end result of all that Moses learned in Egypt came into clear view. We read it there in Exodus 2, down around verse 15 or 14, 13 and 14. What did he do? He acted in the flesh. That's language you can understand, right? He allowed the impulses of a fallen, sinful nature to take control of his actions. And instead of remembering that God is in control and God knows what He's doing here, He allowed Himself to move forward, and He did something that was very wrong. And all of this highlights the importance of simply seeing yourself as God sees you and being willing to change. This is exactly what will happen when you get into the presence of God. Don't forget, you need this every single day of your life. You need to get into the presence of God, and like Paul said in Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Just let me bring some of you who may not be aware up to date. Our culture teaches that self-gratification and pleasure are the most important things in life. Our society puts more value on trees and animals than on human life. We visited as a family not too long ago a little turtle hospital. All sorts of turtles, and I have nothing against turtles. I mean, they're nice to look at, and they're round and big and hard shells, and I'm sure they have some sort of purpose in the world, and yet they spend millions of dollars in taking care of these turtles. Well, it means nothing to murder an unborn child. The corporate world says that the way up is to push your way up, and it doesn't matter how many toes you step on. The philosophy of North America is summed up in the American Dream song, "He who dies with the most toys win." And the morals of our schools and places of work, you know, it's dirty, it's loose, and it's perverted. One of the greatest dangers that every believer faces in this world is to allow the thinking and the mindset of the world to infiltrate into your Christian mindset, to deceitfully dull and desensitize your senses into thinking that present-day North American culture is actually normal. It's actually okay. And coupled with this danger is the attempt of doing the Lord's work in the energy of one's own resources. The 40-year excursion of Moses in the desert of Midian was God's way of detoxification. Is that a word? Anyway, I think it's a word. You get the idea. The unlearning of the negative aspects of Egypt living from a man who of power and prestige in Egypt to leading a few sheep in the wilderness. From a man who thought he could do it his way and he could control what was going on in Egypt, to a man who before God in chapter 3 verse 11 asked, "Who am I that I should lead God's people out of Egypt?" is a very big mind shift. God was teaching Moses and bringing him to a point where he could effectively use him. Could I ask, how is the world affecting your mind today? What are you struggling with today? That question was asked to the young people just yesterday. Is it pride? It's hindering you from usefulness with God? Then get into His presence. Is it an unforgiving spirit towards your brother or sister? Get into God's presence. Is it insecurity that cripples you? Then get into God's presence. Could it be the problem of lust? Then take it to God. Or maybe like Moses, is it a quick temper? You know, it is, I find it very, very interesting that when God was finished with Moses, when Moses came out of God's school, that it tells us in His Word that Moses was very meek above all men that were on the face of the earth. Isn't that wonderful? I think of the words of David that come to my mind. When a person gets into the presence of God, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I'm not saying that this is a simple, quick fix-it kind of thing. Being cleansed of self, being emptied of self is an endless process. As long as we're living down here on planet Earth, we'll always have to do it. But it starts with God. May the attitude of our hearts be like that of another. Empty me of the selfishness inside. Everything, every vain ambition and the poison of my pride. And any foolish thing my heart holds on to, Lord, empty me of me so I can be filled with you. Empty me of me so that I can be filled with you. You know, when you look at Moses here at this burning bush, that's exactly what was taking place. Not only being emptied of self, but being filled with God. I've been enjoying music group lately, Mercy Me. They sing a beautiful song called Word of God Speak. The chorus says, Word of God Speak, would you pour down like rain? Washing my eyes to see your majesty. Be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word, Word of God, speak. Being in the presence of God is more than just learning about God in an academic type of way. It is there in the presence of God where you will see Him in His Word, and in seeing Him through the experiences of life, you will appreciate the depth of His person and character. And Moses here, he had his eyes washed to see God's majesty. Just a glimpse, of course. It would take a lifetime and it will take an endless eternity to fully grasp and see the fullness and the greatness of God. Moses gained a deeper awareness of God's holiness. I think that would be good for all of us. Verse 3, Moses turned aside to see. Paraphrasing verse 5, God calls out, "Don't come any closer, Moses. Take off your shoes and come in contact with my holiness." You want to become more holy, young believer? Then you spend time in the presence of God. Moses got a live demonstration of God's power. Staff turned to a snake. Hand turned leprous. How are we going to get the courage to do the task that God wants us to do? We must spend time in His holiness, in His presence. Moses heard a clear promise of God's presence, verse 12. It yields one of the most precious promises that Moses ever heard. God said to Moses, "Certainly, certainly I will be with thee." I mean, if you had this promise, you could go anywhere, couldn't you? You could do just about anything. It took Esther into the presence of the king. It took Daniel down in with the lions. It took David Livingstone into Africa. It took Amy Carmichael to India. It took David Thompson to Chile and Tom Baker to California and our brother Usher into Venezuela. And whatever work God has for you to do, young believer, you can take this promise. You can take this as your own. You can take it from God, from the very lips of the Almighty God. Certainly, I will be with you. Moses received a fresh understanding of God's faithfulness. And we'll leave that one. But you know, this is the challenge, isn't it? This is the challenge of every believer, to get a glimpse of the glory of God and to take it and to share it and to show it to a world of sinners. So we learn here that first we are emptied, then we are filled, and then we move forward. Purpose is established. Just notice what it says in verse 10, and I will be finished. Verse 10, God says to Moses, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Come now, and I will send thee." It was time for Moses to leave the burning bush. It was time for him now to go forward hand in hand with his God for this great task that was before him. And I just want to, I hope that you get how the Lord has burdened my heart. I want you to leave this conference with the understanding that God has a special work for you to do. It may not be as great. It may not be as important as, well, it is as important as the work that God gave Moses. It may not be as showy. It may not be in such a leadership position as what God gave to Moses. But the special work that God has given you to do in your high school, in your university, in your place of work, in your home, in your little community, on your street, in your assembly, I want you to understand that God has a great work for you to do. And if you don't know, if you're wondering, you know, I can't seem to figure out what God wants me to do, then like Moses, get into the presence of God.